Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So how do you escape this nonsense? Because, you know, for example, yesterday, William in Montana, Larkin, Texas, their calls were brilliant, you know, basically proving William, for example, with his firsthand testimony. I was there with these guys, watching guys like Robert Theobald and B.F. Skinner on college campuses telling people, you know, basically developing systems and methods to manipulate and control people to modify behavior in subtle, seemingly imperceptible and undetectable ways, and either, you know, doing that from the shadows and either, you know, typically telling people what they were doing was a great thing, which is the same thing that we're seeing in these articles. I'll finish the excerpt from the Google Selfish Ledger article back on May 17, especially in light of this, you know, indirect citation through Apple's Siri Suggests stuff, Siri Suggested websites. But these people that developed these methods to manipulate, modify, control behavior would tell folks to their face, especially college kids or the unwashed masses, if you will, that this is all for their benefit, or they'll deny it. Typically, it's, you know, this is a great thing, and here's how, or deny what they're doing, or just retreat to the shadows like cockroaches, never really being honest about what they're doing. And, you know, if we care to actually read what they've written, then we find out that the truth is entirely different. They're trying to modify behavior. They're trying to manipulate you, control you, and change your behavior. But why? And isn't that a form of tyranny? Isn't that something that we are, I don't know, perhaps uniquely opposed to in America based on our founding documents? If we have any constitution left in us, pun intended, isn't this a problem? You know, tyranny exists, and I think it's headquartered in places like Washington, D.C., and Langley, and Fort Detrick, and Walter Reed, and London, and New York, and San Francisco, and Redmond, and Seattle, and probably Atlanta, and a few other places, Moyock, some other places, but... And, you know, so Pogo was right. The, you know, the observation, I've, you know, seen the enemy in it is us. This is the threat to mankind, you know, and it's largely headquartered here on our shores. So the warning of death by suicide that folks like Abraham Lincoln at his Lyceum address sounded are, I think, in full effect. So from the conclusion of the Verge article back on May 17, 2018, at a time when the ethics of new technology and AI are entering the broader public discourse, oh, that'll never happen. It's not discourse. We get fed a dialectical conflict scenario that's already predetermined. Examples of this, there was a, gosh, I wish I could remember the name of it. There's a RAND Corporation monograph that talked about some emerging technologies, including stem cell research and things years ago, obviously. And there were four quadrants. And, I forget what they were named exactly, but it had to do with what could be adopted now easily and what would take some time to, you know, people would have to be softened up and propagandized. And so studies are done on this stuff, and these talking points roll out. I'll give you an example of what I mean with regard to Google here in a minute. But this is all very scientific. You know, these companies that want to control behavior, modify behavior, this is not accidental. None of this is accidental. So, continuing, at a time when the ethics of new technology and AI are entering the broader public discourse, again, you know, just on that note, remember when a couple of years ago now, World Economic Forum had the forum, What If Your Brain Confesses? And they talked about the fact that the law concerning robots as people, robots are people too, and is artificial intelligence sentient, and, you know, what are the laws governing that? It's already been written years ago. So what public discourse, what discussion was had about that? It's done. It's just going to be introduced is what it is. And you get this false dialectical conflict just to get you to adopt it, basically. It's more of that mind control stuff that guys like William Sargent, Gregory Bateson et al. Talked about, wrote about. If you introduce this kind of conflict, then people become more susceptible and more easily controlled. Just introduce these ideas, and the you know, we've drifted away from, for example, anchors like the Bible and right and wrong, didactic thinking. Here's the right thing to do. And the moral of the story is, which is ironic that Alphabet would say, you know, do the right thing, when they have an HR policy, if you will. What is a human resource, by the way? Their policy directives steer them away from folks that are inclined to believe in moral absolutes. Isn't that ironic? Do the right thing. Ironic on many levels. Anyway, continuing, at a time when the ethics of new technology and AI are entering the broader public discourse, Google continues to be caught unawares by the potential ethical implications. Caught unawares, indeed. Hardly. By the potential ethical implications and downsides of its products, as seen most recently with its demonstration of the duplex voice calling AI at I.O. I.O. is an esoteric nod, by the way, which I'm sure you know. The outcry over duplex's potential to deceive prompted Google to add the promise that its AI will always self-identify as such when calling unsuspecting service workers. Yeah. Why do we have to roll the line back all the time? Do you see what I'm saying? It's always this seemingly evil initiative, evil agenda, manipulating, controlling people, deceiving. Who deceives people intentionally? And then has to be prompted to, you know, be honest and genuine. I mean, come on. And this from the company that whose motto is don't be evil. The irony, the painful irony. Continuing, the clear positions Google as the solver of the world. See, this is where it really comes down to. This is the conclusion of the article. Listen to this. The selfish ledger positions Google as the solver of the world's most intractable problems. Fueled by a distressed, intimate degree of personal information from every user and an ease with guiding the behavior of entire populations. An ease with guiding the behavior of entire populations. What do you think? Does that sound fun? I don't think so. And then this, to conclude the article, there's nothing to suggest the suggestibilists say, there's nothing to suggest that this is anything more than a thought exercise inside Google. Really, you dedicate these kinds of resources, you make a video, you have directives, initiatives, internal documents and memos that correspond to all of this work you've done, and it's nothing more than a thought exercise inside Google, initiated by an influential executive. But it does provide an illuminating insight into the types of conversations going on within the company, which is already the world's most prolific personal data collector. So that obviously is a disingenuous conclusion to the article. Basically dismissing everything that went before it as just a thought exercise, even though all the evidence overwhelmingly points to the fact that it's not just a thought exercise. The latest examples that I mentioned today included, you know, notwithstanding. So Safari suggests that one, and, you know, Google to allow Chrome users to disable controversial login feature following complaints. I didn't complain, but I thought it was weird. I noticed it too and thought, what the heck? When did that start happening? You sign into Chrome and suddenly, and you can see it on, it's not just, it's interesting that they show it on a desktop, in a desktop browser scenario. They're doing it across devices. It's device-wide. It's less, it's more difficult. So here's the point. Where is the majority of search traffic these days? So it's kind of a, what do you call it? It's a, what kind of a fallacy is that? It's a logical fallacy in the sense that they're showing the desktop version of the browser and Gmail syncing, but it's device-wide. What's the majority of search these days? It's mobile. No mention of that. No addressing of that in the article. The screenshot you have, for example, of settings is in the desktop version of the Chrome browser. So do you see how that's a subtle, again, sort of imperceptible little a little bit of sin? No mention of how to turn that off. And for years now, mobile has been the majority of search traffic. But, you know, we don't have to worry about it because as blog team suggesting features inside Google, even though he's physical, the company that is already but to the phones. Miller in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. How you doing, sir?
Good, Miller. Thanks for calling.
I think we've got connectivity issues here. I'm getting a lot of lag from you, but that's the Skype. The Skype gremlin's got you. Hello? Okay. Well, Chris, I've been following along with this Brett Kavanaugh thing, and Michael Rivero had kind of introduced me to this subject of the soft news cycle, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. The scandal after scandal. I was looking through, it's everywhere. It's plastered everywhere. And the one thing, what's the one thing you don't hear people talking about? You don't hear anybody mentioning none of these major corporately owned media outlets talking about Brett Kavanaugh's policies, his political positions, his merits for holding that office in the Supreme Court.
Conti.
I did a little bit of research into this guy. It didn't take very long to find out that he was an apologist for the deep state, particularly when it comes to mass surveillance. So this is kind of an older article earlier this year, this summer, out of the Washington Examiner. And it goes into how this guy was going out of his way to defend mass surveillance. So these are his opinions. His opinions is that the NSA is justified in collecting your call record data, metadata, and other stuff like that. So he doesn't think very much of the Fourth Amendment. But we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we're going to have one allegation after another, and it creates this false paradigm. And it's the look over here, look at my left hand, look at my left hand, look, you know, scandal, scandal, scandal. Don't worry about what the right hand's doing. I really think this guy's going to get in.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, just about everything that we see. I mean, speaking of that, a couple of stories that I saw today, let's see, that remind me, you know, I keep thinking, are we still doing this? So CNN headline, Ford, Kavanaugh seek to bolster cases with new documents. That was 2 hours ago. Are we still doing that? Or this one from Politico earlier today, GOP invites Comey, Lynch, and Yates to testify on FBI bias claims. I can't believe we're still doing this. People should be in prison already. And, you know, it's all just theater.
Yes. I think I'm going to start calling it the sex news cycle, because that's really what it's become.
Yeah. And speaking of these people that want to manipulate and control people's behavior, you know, you look at, people can say the protocols or the communist rules, the Dusseldorf rules, they're spurious documents, and that's fine. But it's interesting, first of all, how society has gravitated that direction. Maybe we can set that aside, but what is particularly provocative, these folks, you know, Skinnerian behavior modification engineers, these cybernetic totalists, they really do exist. They have existed. They've been trying for decades to control and manipulate people en masse. And their methods have targeted specific areas of the brain. I'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Frontsight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org. And thank you.
Back again, the phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. So speaking of technological advancements, technological innovations, we've seen from the cybernetic totalists in their research and correlation in technological advancement and effort to target a certain area of the brain. And certain folks have been observant of this. The documentary Pseudology makes particular note of this and how this advancement just keeps being furthered along the same lines. Basically, targeting a specific area of the brain and trying to do it in a very malevolent sort of way, I would say, bypassing your ability to screen information. And that's what the Immersive Technology Initiative is really all about, admittedly, by folks that are advancing it. So a couple of articles. What am I talking about? Well, here's an article from the Tronvig Group titled Brain Science and Marketing: Role of the Limbic and Reptilian Brains. And the article opens with this quote: 98% of what the brain does is outside of conscious awareness. And so just a brief excerpt from the article. You think you are in control. You, quote unquote, your sense of self, your highly developed, amazingly capable conscious mind housed in the big wrinkly hemispheric thing that we most often associate with the brain, the neocortex, is not really in control as much as it thinks. It's just easier for all of us to carry on with this delusion. And so they have that excerpt that you can tweet, your brain is not really in control as much as it thinks. Continuing, we all like to think of ourselves as in control of our decisions and behavior. We believe that we think and then act in that order. Sometimes we actually do behave this way, but most of the time we, in fact, make a decision unconsciously, and then we either build a conscious argument to support that decision, or we just act on the decision without even being aware of what's happening. Recent brain science has uncovered a number of tremendously interesting things that have profound implications for branding and marketing practice. These discoveries do not nullify the art of marketing, but they do remind us of the importance of the science. And so there are other quotes, but you know, this is just one article of many. Then there's an article, How It Works, from the folks at Neurologics, neuroengineering, neurotraining, neurofeedback, EEG, QEEG, brainwaves, brain maps, neurometric analysis. And they explain on their How It Works page how all of this works. But
when you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather.
My apologies. Apparently we're having issues. I don't know exactly where we dropped, but I'm talking to myself. So basically, what I'm talking about is the technology, the technological advancement that has most of the the big tech advancement that we see corresponds to the efforts by the cybernetic totalists and technocrats to control. To modify your behavior, to manipulate and control your thoughts and change your behavior. And again, this is something that has been going on for generations with concerted fervor. You know, these are the kinds of things that Edward Bernays wrote about, that he was sort of glib about doing, changing behavior of society through these manipulative efforts. James Perloff, in his book Truth is a Lonely Warrior, talks about some examples. The Beatles, for example, you know, the schoolgirls screaming was a total put-up job. And these are the kinds of things that we've seen throughout modern history that have been used to mislead people. And now there's an effort with technology, for example, the immersive technology, including theater, to directly target the limbic system of the brain, bypassing the frontal lobe. In other words, your ability to screen content, plant that information right in a particular area of your brain in an effort.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. See if we can stay connected for a minute. My apologies for the technology issues. Bottom of the second hour this Wednesday, September 26, 2018. So the point, just in simple terms, again, the way that technology, marketing, and the media have all sort of been bent in along cybernetic lines to target the limbic system of the brain specifically, and that again in an effort to control and manipulate thought and to modify behavior. And this is something that folks like Edward Bernays and technocrats and cybernetic totalists all agree on. This is a great thing. This is what we should be doing. And folks like William Sargent wrote about this. If you want to control behavior, you target the limbic system. And that's where all the primal urges are located. It's bypassing the thinking part of the brain is what it does. And so if you do a search, for example, you do some searches, technology targets limbic system, marketing targets limbic system, cybernetics targets limbic system, you'll start to see what I'm talking about. You'll see articles in academia, peer-reviewed journals and health magazine, or articles in health journals, government documents, you know. For example, over at the National Center for Biotechnology Information, the NCBI has a number of documents that correspond to this subject matter. So anyway, it's worth looking up. And once you start to see that this is something that gets targeted, we're not trying to target the rational, logical thinking part of the brain. And you see that this is what Bernays wrote is a good way to control people. Bertrand Russell, I quote from The Impact of Science on Society on a regular basis. And these, you know, again, folks like William Sargent, Gregory Bateson, these guys all wrote about this as a method of manipulating and controlling people, targeting the limbic system of the brain and the very primal sort of urges. And to me, that seems particularly diabolical, despicable, and wicked. Anyway, we're on the phone. So we still have Miller in New York?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What do you think, Miller? Thoughts?
I was actually just thinking of another article I read where the Facebook developers admitted they used different colors for the like symbol. And I guess they were having problems with people not using it. So they changed it to red because, you know, red's a danger color. So it would make people feel a certain way so they would click on it more often. And the most frustrating part about this is you try to express this to your average beep boop, and they don't understand that there are gambling mechanics that are put into these social apps on purpose. It is insidious, and it just rolls in one ear and right out the other. The applications that say that they're free, they're not free. You're paying for them with metadata collection, and then they turn around and use that metadata collection to perfect the machine to get you more addicted to it.
Yep. And again, I mean, they're, you know, no matter what angle you come at this on, you all roads sort of lead back to Mecca. And these guys who have said this is how you do it for years, you have to incorporate into the discussion Rand Corporation's development of the game theory, particularly the gamification of everything these days, the iterative prisoner's dilemma, speaking of the sort of the bridging between cybernetics and game theory. You know, you have guys like John von Neumann who've been instrumental in that work. And people, you know, like you said, you try to just broach the subject with the average person and they have no idea what you're talking about. But again, a simple search. I did a search on DuckDuckGo, marketing targets limbic system, and some of the results I get, healingmindn.com, how to market to the limbic system. That's an article. The Huffington Post article, are you marketing to all three parts of your user's brains? Marketingprofs.com, marketing strategy, the science behind why every buy is an emotional buy. And on and on the list goes. Here's one from Big Commerce, one of the big e-commerce platforms. Your primer to the psychology of marketing, the science of was the full title of the article. Anyway, all of these articles speak specifically to this issue of targeting a specific area of the brain, which these cybernetic totalists have admitted is the best way to control people. Your primer to the psychology of marketing, the science of emotional buying, and what marketers can do about it. You know, this is all manipulative propaganda. And it just goes on and on. You know, here's one from Forbes, creating loyal customers for life, making limbic connections with experiential branding. I mean, it's all manipulative propaganda. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think if more folks had a working knowledge of how this technology is manipulating them, there might be regulations on it, similar to how we have on alcohol and tobacco, because they really are addictive, and they have many of the same outcomes, worse.
Absolutely. And as guys like Sean Parker have admitted, that's not by accident. That's entirely on purpose. And, you know, the Simon Sinek talk that he did about millennials, he mentions the fact that studies show that not only is the technology addictive, it's more addictive than alcohol and tobacco. And in many cases, the way that it's engineered, it's as addictive or more than heroin. And so you're right. I mean, Simon Sinek makes the great point in the Millennials excerpt that he has posted on his YouTube channel that, you know, we tell kids that drugs and alcohol are bad, but we give them social media, which is like giving them the keys to the liquor cabinet and saying, I know life is tough. Here you go. It's really no different. And the challenge is, you know, like you say, regulations, but for companies that, for all intents and purposes, by regulators, it's hard to imagine that there would ever be any real meaningful oversight.
And you mentioned these devices. You know, it'd be one thing to regulate the news. You have these big corporate media sites, but if you could regulate what people were viewing on the device level, say through the applications that you have available on the stores, that's one more mechanism to stovepipe the kind of information people are getting. And when you stack that on top of, you know, algorithmic echo chambers, you have people that are living inside their own little worlds and they don't even realize it.
Yep. Yeah, you know, in their recent videos, Aaron and Melissa Dykes have mentioned several movies. WALL-E is one that Melissa has mentioned several times. And so that's the kind of picture that I get. These people are sort of in a vegetative state in the movie, you know, just basically being flown around in hovering chairs with screens in front of their eyes, directly in front of their eyes, and a soda straw stuck in their mouth. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at. It seems like people need to retreat from this stuff, go outside, take their shoes off, walk around in the grass that doesn't have Roundup on it. Maybe, you know, through a grassy meadow, smell the flowers a little bit and get back to reality.
I agree, sir. I think, at this point, nothing short of a massive EMP strike is going to really help anything.
Yeah, and that's the reason that I've mentioned I don't think that's going to happen. You know, if that happened, this stuff would all shut off and the programming would fade away, at least to some degree. The effects would wear off to some degree. And that's why I don't think that, you know, I think the EMP threat is something that just is another behavior modification weapon and a way to pass more authoritarian regulations, but I don't think it'll ever happen. I think it would be great, you know. I think you're right. Seems like nothing short of that or some kind of miracle, unfortunately.
A man can dream. A man can dream. All right,
absolutely.
Chris, well, it was nice talking to you, sir.
You too, Miller. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's just unbelievable. You know, in spite of the efforts to blacklist certain information by search engines and to occlude certain information from public view, again, a search. But who knows to search these things? Marketing targets limbic system. Marketing targets limbic system is a simple, to me, that's where it's one of the confluence points, you know, where you have Bernaysian marketing, you know, wiring Uncle Sigmund Freud's diabolical efforts together with Madison Avenue marketing to manipulate people, combines with cybernetic efforts to socially engineer behavior, combines with the technological advancements to do the same, to basically reduce the number of variables in the equation so that from a marketing standpoint, it's much easier to market to people in a seemingly organic way. But there's nothing organic about it because it's all predicated on manipulation and behavior modification. So you come up with articles like, again, the Marketing Profs article, The Science Behind Why Every Buy is an Emotional Buy, or the Huffington Post article. Are you marketing to all three parts of your users' brains? And it's unbelievable, you know, how to market to the limbic system. That's your primer to the psychology of marketing and emotional buying. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's just, those are just a few. There are many, and that doesn't even get into the, again, you know, the technical articles that have been written, the articles at academia and the NCBI and so forth. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, I just ate a yogurt that went out of date on September 11th. Do you think it'll up my midichlorian count enough to where I can figure out who did it?
Nice.
Hey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gut-mind connection there. Your probiotics down there. Manufacture B complex and serotonin, and I think there's an Italian study from probably 10 years ago. People are so addicted to their computers. They might even go back to like 2003 or something, but maybe 15 years ago. But they paid something like 150 families to go, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks without any technology. And half of them, even though they were getting paid, dropped out of the study after about 3 or 4 weeks. They were able to get a baseline there amongst the households that they studied, that after 9 o'clock in the evening their time in Italy, your melatonin level drops 30%. So it means you don't get good restful sleep. 30% drop just from the you know, being exposed to the flickering phone, computer, and TV screens.
Huh.
So that makes you much less likely to be wide awake and the next day, so you're more susceptible to impulsive behavior and, you know, impulsive buys, like you say, that are emotional buys, not necessarily rational. That's supposedly an old saying, you know, people don't buy on the facts, they buy on feelings amongst the best salesmen in the world. But all this stuff about fluoride, D. James Kennedy, I've looked at most of his videos, and his professor from the University of Kentucky, I forget what his name is, he got his pension and went sideways with a lot of that stuff, you know, about the mercury and fillings and how fluoride helps to, has an affinity for that sort of stuff, and it makes it worse in minorities, especially blacks, you know, the exposure. But one thing nobody ever talks about when it comes to fluoride is that it messes with your gut bacteria. It throws off your gut bacteria. And so that's
a mess
with your being wide awake and alert, you know, with the serotonin production. So you get this zombie consumer out there that's, you know, got low serotonin and then low melatonin. And so they never get fully good in the sleep, and then they never get fully awake. One thing I've found, though, recently, you got to watch it. a health guru I watch called Dr. Becker recommended taking a handful of walnuts before you go to bed. Naturally frees up melatonin, and you will have some vivid dreams, almost as if you take melatonin. But it's pretty good, you know, a handful of walnuts before you go to bed. What gets me, I've talked to I don't know how many different people, and several will be on these SSRI drugs for years, and that I remember looking it up in Wikipedia, the molecular diagrams. Big honking tree of fluoride on all those Prozac-type drugs. Elavil, yeah. Serotonin, serotonin, Prozac, I can't remember, there's a bunch of them, Seroquel. They all have a big honking tree of fluoride on there, and initially Wikipedia had a good diagram that made it obvious. But now they just have diagrams of the intended molecule, and I've never heard of anybody's serotonin level ever being tested before they're put on these things. So what sense does that make? If you're going to monkey with somebody's serotonin level, you'd think you would actually test to see, well, what is their serotonin level? And I know of a woman here in the last year or two that finally got her vitamin D and serotonin level checked, undetectable, off-scale low. And she'd been on SSRI drugs for years. So, you know, it's some crazy amount, like $300 billion a year drug market. And they're creating all kinds of wonderfully irritable people with this stuff, I think.
Yeah.
And so it's all marketing.
Doubt about too. It.
They love to throw fear at you, you know, like maybe you're watching the news and Bill Gates says disease X could kill the planet. After this break, we'll get into the story. So they throw fear at you, and that also makes you more susceptible to the advertising. And then you get the advertising
exactly.
That says, take this drug, take this drug, you know.
Yep.
So just bang, bang, bang. It's no wonder that so many people have tuned out from the media, and, of course, they've continued to fractionate the media, which is ominous enough. I heard somebody on RBN a few weeks ago talk about Joseph Goebbels handed out radios all through the 30s to get the propaganda out, and I'm like, holy crap, that's what Obama did. Obama did that for 8 years. I got me Obama phone. And now the media is so fractionated. Everybody's, you know, a bunch of people are, even if they can't afford to pay the phone bill, they still got the Wi-Fi, you know, to go around to the, get their devices contaminated with the, what is it called, the cherry blossom. I was watching this kid show off and talk about his, I think he had a ZTE phone. You know, I said, this looks like one of them Android knockoffs from China, isn't it? He goes, yeah, it works great. And I said, are you aware of this AdUps malware that was in like 900 and some devices, 900 and some million? And he goes, no, what's that? And I said, well, basically it just takes your text messages and all your metadata and phones at home to server addresses in China. And he was like, well, huh. I don't care who's spying on me. As long as my phone gives me what I want, when I want, how I want it.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, like exactly.
Facilitating the inner 5-year-old. That's what we've got. I mean, it's pretty alarming.
Exactly.
Pretty alarming.
Well said. That's as well as you can say it right there, facilitating the inner 5-year-old.
I ran into some youngsters that were at an amusement park this summer. Yeah, like the world's fastest roller coaster, wooden roller coaster, and a bunch of other really neat rides, and they're all just sucked into their phones as they're texting around, you know, amongst themselves in the park. And I guess that's kind of fun. Where are you at? I'm over here. Where are you at? I'm over, you know, texting back and forth. But the ride attendants were getting perturbed at them because they wouldn't move the line along. You know, they weren't paying attention to where they're at. They're in an amusement park and they're sucked into the phone. And I just asked a few of them, have you ever heard of Snowden? What? Who's that? You know, they don't know anything about what these devices are doing that they're carrying around with them to themselves, their melatonin levels, or their mind. You know, they're facilitating social autism because they spend so much time staring at the phone, they can't recognize people's emotional states. They've studied that. Pediatricians have been alarmed for several years about that because these 5-year-olds start getting these phones, and they spend so much time staring at them. They've tested them. They run them into a room and have a group of people in a semicircle
with certain emotions expressed on their faces, and the kids can't recognize if they're angry or sad or happy or whatever, because they're just sucked into these screens so much of their life and their developmental years. And it's pretty, you know, good science fiction says more about today than it does the future. And I think that's what the Matrix is trying to tell us. Look what we're doing here with these phones. And that was in the 90s. I mean, yep. All that stuff with Enemy of the State was not fiction. It was a documentary. If you've seen a Gene Hackman movie, I'm sure. I've been pretty much living it for 20 years trying to tell people about this stuff. And, oh, well, nothing we can do. And they've marketed the Christian right into being futile. You know, they think it's all, it's all part of God's plan. We can't do anything about it. So they're self.
Again, that gets back to what Lark mentioned yesterday, the portmanteau futilitarianism. And the provocative excerpt from Jaron Lanier's book, You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, where he talks about the rapture and the singularity, as I would paraphrase it, as basically two sides of the same coin to do just that. You anesthetize people and say, you know, since this is coming, then they not only kind of start to accept it, but also exactly. Yep.
Yep. What did Dante say, though, about his doorway to hell?
Exactly. Yeah.
Abandon hope. All ye who enter here. So many people just said, well, this is God's will. This is, you know, the Zionists are going to rule the world or whatever they think. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, it's just anathema to the whole concept of Christianity to think you're going to build another temple and start animal sacrifice again. Hello.
Yeah.
What was the point of the crucifixion then and the resurrection, you know? And all that he boiled down and fulfilled is just out the window.
And you have no more shedding of blood after that, no more requirement. And, you know, people just, it's again, it's astonishing to see how,
the saying that I've heard is a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what does that say about a society that's got that way?
Absolutely. Yeah. James chapter 1. For those interested in more, look up Maxwell Maltz's Psycho-Cybernetics. And see all the people that were influenced by it. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. Thanks, Mike, as always. And as always, folks, take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.